I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. As you think about the words of a song like that, you know, as we try to take them to heart, I'll believe whatever the cost. When I think about risk and reward, the risks of living for Jesus Christ, they don't even measure up to the rewards that come from following him. I thank the Lord so much for that. We are continuing our talk on Elisha and the gift of oil, and looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This morning, let's bow in prayer before we open the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you might help us to learn from your Word. This book has been given to us to help us learn, to help us live our lives for you. I pray that you might take the words of this book, apply them to our life, and help us to live for you daily. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I always try to kind of think of an example to catch your attention and prepare your mind to think about the message that I'm going to come up with. So I always try to think of an illustration. And sometimes I'll work and I'll try to think of something from my past, or maybe I'll look up an example from a story or something that I've read. But this week, God gave me kind of an illustration example to start with this morning. And I thought, boy, that really fits with what I'm going to talk about this Sunday morning. At school, I've had a problem all year. I have junior hires, and these junior hires, sometimes they're not very good with life skills, and sometimes they get distracted. The boys get distracted by each other very, 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 very easily. Doesn't take much for you get, and I think I've got 6 or 7 boys in my homeroom, and they're very good at distracting each other. And the problem has been when they come in for lunch into my homeroom, they want to microwave stuff. And a few times, these kids, they'll put popcorn in the microwave, and they might hit a button, and it'll start popping, and they'll walk away. And before you know it, that popcorn has been in there way too long. And they open the door, and I hear, oh, they burned the popcorn again. So daily, I've gone through this ritual daily. You've got popcorn, stand next to the microwave. Even if you hit the microwave button, because there's one kid that'll bring in a bag of microwave popcorn that's this big, and there'll be another kid that don't understand that button doesn't work for every bag of popcorn. And so stand next to it, and if you hear it starting to slow down, it might be time for it to be done. They haven't gotten that concept yet. And so already, the school year has just begun. And two times already, I burnt the popcorn. What do you think my room smells like for a week? But it was bad this week, because it wasn't popcorn this week. Okay? There's these cup of noodles that kids get, and it says right on there, please add water before you put this in the microwave. And probably, I 5 minutes before this happened, I went through my daily ritual of, if you're microwaving something, please stand next to it. Don't want to burn popcorn. I can remember this one boy even teasing this girl who had been the culprit of burning popcorn. Don't burn the popcorn, Mr. Wilson says. And then he sticks his cup of noodles in, he pushes the button, and he's fooling around with all the boys. The next thing you know, I hear, because I was eating my lunch at the time, and I hear, that's never happened before. I look over, and I see a cloud of smoke pouring out of the microwave. I said, shut the door! And he's just looking at it like, what do I do now? And so he shut that door, and I got out of my desk, and I walked over to my room, to the microwave. I unplugged it, grabbed the microwave, and took it outside as fast as I possibly could. And I put some fans blowing the cloud of before the fire department came. And no, the fire department did not come. But I got fans blowing the stench before the fire department came and out of my room. And so all day, I was blowing burnt cup of noodles out of my room. And so but by the time I got fans blowing the smoke out of my room and everything, it was time for the next class. And the next class is saying, Mr. Wilson, do we have to have class in here? It smells like a burnt cup of noodles. It's like, we're going to do it. And we had class in there. And for the next couple hours, I'm thinking about chemistry and algebra and calculus. And then I go outside a little bit later, and I open that microwave, and there was still smoking cup of noodles in that microwave. And so I said, this microwave is gone. I will be gone from the plague of the microwave. If they want to microwave stuff, they can go to the kitchen, and I will no longer have a microwave in my room, because three strikes and it should be out, right? And so I sent a note home to parents, and the next day I came in, and I walked into the room, and what do you think my room still smelled like? I walked in Friday. What do you think? I think this happened on Monday or Tuesday. What do you think my room? And so each day, you know, let's light a candle. Let's walk around the room with the air freshener, and man, you know what? Reminded me a lot of sin. You know? And sometimes when we get sin in our lives and in our hearts, we go over and over and over and over and over to it again. We don't want to stop. You know, this boy, before he put the cup of noodles in that, he was picking on another. I remember this. He's saying to this girl, oh, put the microwave in there. Don't burn the microwave. Don't be that kid that burns the microwave. By the end of the day, the rest of the kids were saying to him, you burnt the cup of noodles. His older brother says to me, Mr. Wilson, when you get home, do you want me to take care of him? His older brother Silas was friend, and he was saying that to me, wasn't he? Yeah. But sin, you know, we might even talk to other people about getting sin out of their life and how it can destroy and ways to get rid of it. No. We can try to mask the stench left behind. We can try to clean, because that night after kids were gone, I got Clorox wipes out, and I was like wiping everything down. I was trying to get everything, you know, so maybe it wouldn't stink, and trying to clean my room extra thoroughly. The next morning I come in, there's this girl. She's like wiping out. She's like, it smells so bad in here. Maybe if I wipe it down, it'll smell. I'm like, that's what I did all last night. It's not, the room is just going to smell like this for forever. And this kind of depressed me this week. In case I took a picture. I told my wife, I sent her a message. I said, I'm having an awful day. She said, why? What's wrong? I just said, cup of noodles. I'll talk about it when I get home. But sin is destroying us. And we need help. And if we're going to find help, we need to find it from the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how, as we looked at this story of the widow's oil, we talked, well, let's just kind of do a quick review, about how she knew loss. Her husband had died. and it left her brokenhearted. We talked about how she had a debt, and I know her debt was a physical debt. And though a physical debt will do a ton of damage in her life too, but so will a spiritual debt. They both weigh on us and push us down and destroy us. Her children were in danger of becoming slaves. And you become a slave to sin. Just like in my example, I swear that those eighth graders are slaves to burning things in the microwave. I don't think it's possible for them to get, and I know that someday when it's their own home, they might. I know that they will mature, at least I hope, and that they will figure out how to microwave something. I know somebody's going to come up to me after church and say, my husband hasn't figured out how to microwave. I know that's going to happen. So, but slaves to sin. And all of these things, when we know loss in our life, when we become indebted to Satan, to sin, financially indebted, when we become a slave, and we just keep on, it sticks in our souls, and the filth that is there just seems insurmountable. We need help. We need time for a change. We talk about how Elisha was willing to come and listen to this woman's problem and to offer a solution. And the solution was to go and bring these jars of oil, these empty vessels, and to start filling them with oil. Just filling and filling. And God miraculously provided oil, all that she needed. And we got to the point last week where we said, oil throughout the scriptures teaches us, helps us learn, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit's ministry. And when this woman needed it the most, the Holy Spirit provided the oil. So let's read, as I catch up on my notes here, let's get to where we are. Oil was a healing agent. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter 4, once again, verses 1 to 7. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Last week, as we were finishing up, we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verses 1 and 6 and 7, about how oil was used to anoint Saul, for him to do a special job when the Holy Spirit, as you read the story of Saul, the Holy Spirit rushed on him, and he was able to proclaim and to prophesy and to share the word of the Lord.
But then as Saul began to defy God and go outside the parameters of what God had asked him to do, and his heart began to go cold, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God left and an evil spirit came in its place. We were just talking about that in men's Sunday school class. About how in the Old Testament, guys like David have to beg to God, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Last week I had us read John chapter 14 in the responsive scripture reading. This week I had us read John chapter 16, where we see Jesus talking about when he died on the cross and rose again, he was going to change this whole world. And part of that change was going to be from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he would work in your life and help you as a believer in Jesus Christ to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, to comfort you, to change your life and to conform it to the image of God's Son. And that is a great gift that God has given to you. And my whole point about my illustration this morning is, as I was thinking about that microwave, you know, sin just like can destroy your life, your week, your classroom. If it just burns and smolders and the stench can be there for a lifetime. You can try to mask it. You can light a candle. You can spray Febreze. You can try to blow everything out. You can try to clean everything. But the filth is still there. You need the Holy Spirit of God to make a change in your life like only he can. And as the Bible compares the Holy Spirit to oil and the ability to change the hearts of men and to really clean us and to mold us into the image of his Son, we need to cry out. We need to pour our hearts out to the Holy Spirit to purify our lives. Let's look at, last week we looked at Saul. This week, let's look at Samuel, anointing the heads of the kings of, not Samuel, David, in 1 Samuel. Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13, it says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." As I look at this passage, and as I see that David and his brothers had been gathered, none of them would be chosen to be a king. The last person that Samuel thought worthy of being anointed as king and the Holy Spirit coming on him to do a great work for the nation of Israel was David. When we look at this passage, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I'm sure that many of you would probably agree that you are thankful, as I am, that God God doesn't come and look at how we look on the outside, but he cares about our hearts and what's on the inside. And if we are willing and able to follow his call, to believe in his son, and to let him work in our lives, and that Holy Spirit, as he's going to work in your life, he doesn't care about the outward appearance, what other people see. He knows and he sees what's in your heart. But maybe you're looking here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Scott, you've been talking about our lives and sin and comparing it to a cup of burnt noodles that just charred and it stinks. That's how I feel on the inside today. That's where I am. I'm telling you, God knows that. He understands that. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, because it's only he that can cleanse you from those sins. And then, if you believe in him, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to begin to make a change in your life and to really do some house cleaning and to anoint you to do a good work in your life. Next one that I think we can kind of applies here is that as we look at this, oil was a factor in ministering to both the internal and external beauty upon God's people. Symbolized gladness of heart. Let's turn over our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty from ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Do you see the work of the Holy Spirit in here, and oil compared to that work of the Holy Spirit? Do you see how this fits in with this woman, this widow whose sons were being lost to slave, who had a debt that she couldn't pay? "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I know that we were talking about dispensationalism in men's Sunday school class just a bit ago, and I understand that this is quoted in Luke chapter 4 about Jesus Christ and his ministry. And this is what Jesus Christ was doing, and this is why he came to this earth. But he has left his spirit here on earth to continue the work of doing these things in our life. And you see here, as we look at oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, oil of joy for mourning. Give them beauty from ashes. I know often as we go living our Christian lives, we hear that phrase often. Beauty from ashes. Next time, at least for me, you don't have to do this, but for me, next time I hear that phrase, beauty from ashes, I should have put a picture up here on the screen. Not a picture, just an absolutely burnt, charred cup of noodles. That's what sin leaves in your life. But the oil, the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do is he wants to heal, to cleanse, to clean, and to do it, to really do that. And he has the ability to do that in our lives. Not only that, and you might think that this is trivial, but oil is used for cosmetic refreshing. And there's many, many examples of that in the scripture. You know, think about in the story of Ruth. In 2 Samuel chapter 12. And in Psalm 23, that's the one I'd like to go to right now, is Psalm 23. But God uses oil to not only change our inward appearance, but to change our outward appearance. And I'm not talking about God is going to use this to make you some beautiful person, to make you attractive to everyone else, but to allow you to see joy on your face. To see that the Lord is making a difference and to put a smile on your face and to see that there is something different because the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. We know Psalm 23, but when it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Think about stories like Ruth as God was preparing her to be a mother of God's Messiah eventually. And God used oil in that situation. When God, the Holy Spirit, will work in our life, it won't just change us on the inside. The people around us will begin to notice that God is at work in our lives. Back in 2 Kings chapter 4, we notice that she filled all those empty vessels. She prepared for abundance. And Jesus was that. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. Let's turn over our Bibles to that verse. You see on the board, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 38, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging him on a tree. Him God has raised up on the third day and showed him openly." As we look at this, we see that the Holy Spirit was at work even when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, and he helped him to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captive free. And that same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus Christ and helped him to do those great works is the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to leave, and I'm going to leave him here to be at work in your life." She filled all the empty vessels. And as we look around us, we see people, children, people in our lives who are in need of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will be at work in our children's lives, our neighbors' lives, our spouses' lives, and that he will fill them also, just as he has filled us. We need to prepare for an abundance. God had these women, Elisha had these women, this woman and her sons, go and collect the pots, as many as they could, and begin to fill them with oil. And they had, if they were going to do what God said, they had to get a lot of pots and bring them all in and prepare for God to bless them bountifully. And today, as we see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and as we prepare for Him to work, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit isn't limited. I think I wrote something about that in one of the Prayer Focus updates this week. Sometimes it seems impossible that God could change the heart of that person. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is He able to save that person, to bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then to fill them with the Holy Spirit so they change the world around them, change their insides, purify their life, their mouth, to even change the way they look? You hear testimonies of what God has done in people's lives to change their heart, their mind, and you don't even recognize them because of the work that God did in their life. He still has the ability to do those things today. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 25. In John 21 and verse 25 it says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." We think about God's work, Jesus Christ's work of healing the brokenhearted, setting the captive free, changing the lives of people for all of eternity. He's continuing that work today through the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Now, just this week, I was saying, John chose seven signs, seven miracles to talk about in his gospel. He could have talked about dozens of miracles that Jesus Christ did. As a matter of fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. He could have just gone on and gone on about all these miracles, but God instructed him to choose seven that pointed out us to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They all had a specific plan and a specific purpose in pointing us to the Savior. But the work of Jesus Christ is not done. And I love how this says it. If all the miracles that Jesus Christ did and is doing today, and what His Holy Spirit could do, we could fill volume after volume after volume. I bet you if we took this room and began to write down the things that God has done through the Holy Spirit, we'd have a library of the great things that God has done. And He's not finished yet. The Holy Spirit's still alive and working. She took this work that God had done and she used it. She took the Holy Spirit and the oil that Elisha had poured in there, and she paid for the debt. Her sons were no longer in danger of being slaves. Jesus Christ paid it all. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid for our debt. We no longer have to be slaves for sin, and God has supplied us with the Holy Spirit to change our lives. So maybe today you feel lost like this woman did. You feel like you have an insurmountable debt. We've been talking about that for weeks now. And sin in your heart makes you feel as if you're a slave to it. The filth in your heart is overwhelming. And you want to know the purity that only the blood of Jesus can provide. The life-changing work of the Holy Spirit. You need God to be a comforter. The book of John promised that He'd be the comforter. I'll send the comforter. You need the Holy Spirit to clean your life up from the sin that just makes it smell like filth. You walk around bogged down by sin. And it just feels like something you can't get away from. And you need God. to have His Holy Spirit doing work in your life today. Change your face. Change your heart. Change your eternal situation. God gave you a great gift. Jesus Christ said, I promise that I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Why would you take the greatest gift that God could ever give you and let it stay on a shelf? Keep it out of your heart and not allow Him to do His purifying work that only He can. Why would you keep it from purifying your life? This week I lit candles. I sprayed Febreze. And it still stinks. If someone came and said, I have this magic oil that if you put this in your room, it will take care of all the odor, all the filth, and your room will smell like petunias for the rest of the year. Tell you what, I wouldn't throw that in the garbage. I wouldn't say, no, I've got a candle that's kind of doing the job. I'd say, give it to me. Let it work. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ said, my Holy Spirit can purify you. If people are saying to you, is there something wrong? You know, you don't seem as joyous as you usually do. And you know in your heart, because sin is dragging you down. Cry out to the Holy Spirit. These people needed the debt to be paid, and God provided He provided, and the debt was paid. And I encourage you to finish those words of this story. They paid the debt, and you live on the rest. God has paid the debt on the cross. He's given the oil, the Holy Spirit, for you to live on the rest. Live today. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I don't know whose heart Your Holy Spirit is working on right now. But Lord, I pray that He is. I pray that the Comforter, the one that You promised would convict the world, is taking the work that only He can do right now, and He's working in somebody's life. And I pray that today might be a day where they'll just come forward, kneel down, and give their lives to You. Help them not to leave here today before they do business with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.